It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, here we are, and welcome to the program. Excited to be with you today. Let's get right to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Loud and clear. You got that, Scott?
I got it.
Scott had his headphones on and the volume was up a little bit, so it woke him up. He's awake now.
I'm ready.
Well, give us what you got and we'll comment and talk about it.
Okay. Monday's market was fun to watch. It looked for a while there like we were going to get that 13,000 close. We didn't quite get it for Monday. I think we'll see it this week.
Okay.
But overall, the Dow down a point and a half at 12,981. S&P up 1.8 at 1367. NASDAQ up 2.4. So really not a whole lot going on. Some selling off in commodities. Gold down $8. Still pretty high, though, at 1768. And the good news of the day, oil down $2 to 107. Yay.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's good news. It's still 107, though. And we can talk about what's going on with oil in a little bit. But in other news, on Monday, we had a pending home sales report. Pending home sales up 2%. Analysts had expected 1%. So that's pretty good. Home builders, shares of home builders up on the day after that.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to comment on that. The Realtor Association has a score for, you know, how they track these sales agreements, and it's a score of 97, and 100 is considered healthy. So they're real close to what the realtors would call a healthy real estate market. And, you know, a lot of people, the sales are higher than they've been since May of 2010. Supply of homes fell last month to the lowest point in nearly 7 years. Associated Press had several of these points I'm sharing with you. So what we've got here, Scott, is we got the potential for a higher price to start to tick up. And as that happens, of course, that'll mean more inventory coming from the banks.
Yep.
But also a lot of people saying, okay, let me do something. And the interest rates are not going to stay this low. They're already starting to come back up. And the other thing, one more thing, is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has said that, look, you've got till April, and then we're going to have a higher mortgage fee. So I think some people might be trying to, you know, kick the dust off and get some things done kind of quick, which might be pushing numbers up a little bit, but that momentum will be very positive.
Yeah, there are a lot of things working in the favor of the housing market. Foreclosures are way, way, way down 19% from a year earlier. Prices are still declining, but very, very, very slowly. Later this week, we get the S&P Case-Shiller Price Index, so we'll see how prices are doing around the world. But for me, I want to see mortgage rates start to go up as a real indication of health of the home market, because that would indicate to me that there's
greater demand
pressure. Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Well, quick little fact information for our listeners is that you know a lot of people don't even know that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac get involved with the home loans. They end up, you know, getting a note in the mail and say, "Hey, I didn't know they bought my loan." And these governmental agencies is really what they are. They own, this is an amazing statistic, they own half of all U.S. mortgages, period. And they are buying or guaranteeing 90% of new mortgages. So the government is heavily involved through these two quasi-agencies, if you will, that they basically guarantee everything. And if they run short, they give them the money they need.
Yeah, but you still can't get a mortgage.
The terms are much stricter. You've got to have a bigger down payment, much stronger credit score, and you've got to really, you know, they asked a lot. One of our clients was sharing with us that he had refinanced recently, and they wanted to know everything. And, you know, I remember not that long ago, they had those ninja loans, you know, the no income, no job applications you could do, and it's changed a lot. So with all of that, to still see some of these things going up is definitely encouraging.
Yeah, so good news there. I mean, I think we're still continuing to see just a smattering of good news. It's just, again, just moving slowly, slowly, slowly. European shares off on Monday after German Chancellor Angela Merkel came out, and she said to all of the lawmakers in Germany, there's no guarantee that this great big 130 billion euro bailout package that we just sent in is going to actually work. And I don't know why that's a surprise to anybody, but it got European markets
just
nervous.
Well, just saying it is what gets everybody nervous. And, you know, will they ever get that money back? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But
that's quite a money to put up, and the chances of getting it back are pretty slim.
Yep. And then in corporate news, good numbers from Lowe's. They cited warmer weather in the Northeast for incenting more people to do some homeowner renovation projects. So a really good number from them. After the close on Monday's bell, a really, really good number from Priceline. $990 billion in revenue.
Billion or revenue or million?
Billion.
No.
Yeah.
Billion with a B?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it can't be. We'll come back to that. I'm going to fact check you on that one, Scott.
Okay, I'm going to find out.
Hey, while you're looking, let me ask you, what kind of weather does it take for you to get your get out there and do some of that home improvement stuff?
I don't do any of that
stuff. Yeah, you don't do that?
No, it's not for me.
All right, we'll check that fact for you. Is it a billion or is it a million? Well, you got to come back after the break and you'll find out. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Oh, yeah, we're going to break it down for you. Hey, let me break this down for you. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is amazing. So the Japanese now have their own Madoff scam over there. Something's gone badly wrong with somebody that the regulators maybe could have known, maybe could have done something. There's a company, what's the name of it?
AIJ.
Investment Advisors, and they're a Japanese firm. They basically, $2 billion is missing.
Yeah, pension money.
Pension money. So that's the money of hardworking Japanese.
Yeah.
Mm.
That they've been counting on that money to retire.
Well, here we go. Ready for the warning sign, ladies and gentlemen? Here's what they coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? Here we go. There was a commentary about this advisory firm, and it says that one of the folks reporting in a newsletter that watches the industry says that they had unnaturally stable returns despite downturns in the market. They had these consistent higher than average returns no matter what the market conditions do. If there isn't a more glaring example or warning sign for when a scam or bad behavior might be going on, that's it. You've heard me tell the story, Scott, about the guy that came in who had his money managed over on the west coast of Florida. And he brought in his statement. I've got to find it. We'll be able to talk about it. The returns that he showed me that he was earning every year. And it's never down, never down. We're always up. And if you see that, if somebody's investing your money and it's in the market and they never show a down year, I want to know who they are, because I tell you what, that is extraordinary.
Yeah, this particular firm was notoriously secretive too, and if you can't get full information about you're invested in, when the trades have taken place, why the trades have taken place, it's a problem.
It's a problem. It's a pattern. Hey, so give me the number on Lowe's.
Priceline.
Okay.
$991 million.
Million. All right. So you know, hey, if everybody
million billion is government work. What do you want?
Well, you know, if we could get you out there and get some of that home repair done, Scott, then
That's
we might be able to get. Get Lowe's up to that number too.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
All right. Well, we won't work too hard. I'm there with you. All right, okay. So how about let's talk about junk bonds. Junk bonds are in the news again. Are people starting to talk more about it? What do you make of that?
There's a lot of money going into junk bonds. Retail investors have put $12 billion, that's with a B, into junk bond mutual funds this year, compared to only $5 billion for stock funds and $10 billion for regular bond funds. So that's a lot of money going into junk bonds. I think a lot of it is just people are tired of getting 2% on treasuries.
That's totally what it is. And don't worry, I'll double check these numbers when we're on a break, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. No, I'm looking at the article myself, and you're right on it. And here's something that people need to know. Number, and you've talked about this often, Scott, that junk bonds act a lot more like equity.
Yes,
they do. Really are
from a risk perspective.
A risk standpoint. Yeah. And so there is risk. If you plow your money, say, you know, I'm tired of these 2% returns, or I'm tired of earning 1% on my 5-year CD, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to go buy myself a junk bond. Well, number one, they better buy a bond fund and not an individual junk bond.
Absolutely.
Or high yield bond.
Absolutely.
Or one that a broker might sell from their inventory that I got a bond for you. And you buy it, and it's a 20-year bond, and it's got lousy ratings, and it, you know, you're going to make all this money. Well, guess what? It's not guaranteed. It can lose. The principal can go down in value. If the company has difficulty, you're going to lose your shirt.
And you might not be able to sell it when you want to.
Exactly. You may not be able to sell it. So stick to bond funds. Now, even if you're doing a bond fund that's high yield, you still can have losses. And if interest rates go up, boy, they can really take a hit.
Absolutely. And they move very, very, very quickly. But it's not only retail money that's flying into high yield bonds. Also, hedge funds are buying a ton of European junk bonds. And most of it is short term. So a caution there that even they see this as maybe a short-term type of a play. But most of the junk bonds, sovereign debt being bought in European markets is being done by hedge funds.
Interesting. Well, they're basically looking at it saying, okay, the storm has passed, so to speak. Maybe that's what
I think they're thinking either, A, we get, you know, 6 or 7 or 8% annualized yield if it doesn't do anything, or B, things get much better because there's more propensity to loan in the European Union, so the price, you know, changes and they make the difference there. Price goes up, yield comes down, they get out.
Okay. Well, let's get out for a minute, take a short break, come back. I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to hold you just for a minute longer, Scott. I want to talk a little bit about gas, what's going on there.
All right.
Okay. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2.
The 7 deadly sins of retirement planning are a reality, not a myth. Are you committing any of the sins? Are you wasting money on investments with high fees? Are you prepared for high inflation? The next stock market drop? Call Holland Financial to receive a free DVD on the 7 deadly sins of retirement planning. Certified financial planner David Holland identifies some of the most common mistakes he has seen retirees make and how to avoid them. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
We're back. We're talking about, you know, Scott was telling me about his next weekend's plans. He's thinking of going and seeing a concert, and I think that's great. You should go.
Thank you.
But you're going to have to put gas in the car to get there, so let's talk about gas prices. Are we going to see $5 a gallon?
I don't see any way around it. I mean, prices always go up between now and the summer. I paid $3.85 in Orlando yesterday.
Well, there's some that say it won't, and, you know, depending on what happens. But I tell you what, the thing that is uncanny to me is that they always seem to want to take the refineries offline and have to, you know, we got to do maintenance.
Right.
Because we don't build any new refineries, right?
I mean, we haven't had
a new one in, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
And so, oh, no, we got to take them offline. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to wait until it's the busiest time of the year for people driving. Let's wait till the summer, and then we'll take our refineries offline. Well, some say that we could see the $5 a gallon, but I don't know if it'll get that high. But the more the tensions ratchet up in the Middle East, and the latest report, I think it was, New York Times had a report out that, well, maybe Iran really isn't after nukes. I don't know if I believe that. I think they are.
I mean, I think they are, but I think the oil market has a tendency to overreact to that type of news anyway. It certainly did when we were having the problems with Libya, and I think it's probably overreacting to the unrest in Iran at this point, too. Okay. But, you know, traders love volatility. So when they see this stuff come out in the news headlines, they know it's going to cause oil to become volatile. So the traders get in there, which
and makes they make it more volatile.
Makes it more volatile.
Well, so. What's going on? Other factors are currency. What's going on to the dollar right now? We're still pretty strong, right?
Yeah, still pretty strong.
Not really devaluing much?
No, we're still, compared to the euro, still in that 130 range.
Because if our dollar starts to drop in value and we start seeing the euro go to $1.50, $1.60, $1.70,
yeah,
then oil will definitely go up.
Yeah.
Because everything's still priced in dollars, right?
Yeah, but I just don't see that happening until there really is more of a long-term solution
so
in Europe.
Some of the challenges, ironically, it's very interesting how this all swirls and is linked together, is that the challenges in Europe that not only suppress their potential economic growth and demand for oil, but also just the sheer challenges they face is keeping our dollar stronger relative to their currencies, and that keeps oil cheaper.
Yeah, and you know, at some point they're going to have to go to a basket currency. They've been talking about it for years and years and years and years, but at some point they're going to have to do it, especially if we continue to get credit rating downgrades in the U.S. It devalues our currency, and it makes oil more volatile by being pegged to one currency.
Well, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. And I don't see more oil being pumped. I'm still waiting on Saudi. In fact, my wife asked me. She said, "Now, tell what was that deal about you talking the other day on the radio about Saudi Arabia? They were supposed to be, you know, giving us more oil. What's the deal there?"
That's what they said.
That's what they said. Well, judge people by how they act, not what they say, right?
They said they'd give it to us.
All right. Well, speaking of giving it to us, Warren Buffett.
You love him.
I love Warren Buffett. I admire his investing, but I really get tired of the political stuff. He admits he was dead wrong on predicting basically what the housing market was going to do. And that's, you know, all the investment houses, I mean, all the investment newsletters and papers picked up on that. And I don't really care necessarily about that prediction. But if he's wrong on housing, I wonder if he's wrong about how we should tax our taxpayers. You know, one of the things that people have to dug a little deeper into his situation is he's got some $50 billion. Billion, not a million, right?
That's right.
$50 billion.
Yeah.
And do you know where the $50 billion goes when he dies?
I presume charity.
Most of it goes to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right.
Thereby avoiding estate and gift taxes, which could be, you know, depending on these, well, if the taxes go back to where he might want them, I don't know, $25-30 billion would go to the government. But he does. So on one hand, he wants to raise taxes on everybody, but then his own planning, he has it all going to this foundation that's owned by his buddy, Bill Gates. So again, watch what they do, not what they say. And that's what they say.
Yep. And this is a guy whose company owns Acme Brick, Clayton Homes, and Shaw Carpet. So there is a thing called talking up your book. I'm not accusing him of talking up his book, but he has a vested interest in the housing market going up.
Well, sure. And if it doesn't, he's got the, where is it? I thought it was interesting because I eat this. The See's Candy. You ever had See's Candy?
Yeah,
I love See's Candy.
I'm familiar with it.
Very tasty. So he's got that in his portfolio. And you can take a ride on the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. And you can insure it with Geico. Not a bad deal.
There you go.
We're going to let Scott get back to work managing those portfolios. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the retirement gotchas you need to look out for. Stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
Okay, I'm back. Just David, sans Scott. Scott Sashimi, that's what we call that. All right, so what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about these retirement gotchas. There are these retirement gotchas that allegedly, supposedly, the experts rarely talk about. USA News had this report out. I thought it was very interesting, and the reason I wanted to share this with you is they cited these four things, and it's really funny. You know, in life, we find things interesting or funny, of course, based on our own perspectives. And you know, if you hear somebody talking about something and you say, oh man, boy, they really are insightful. Well, a lot of times it's because we think the same thing. And that's just naturally how we perceive the world around us. Well, I thought it was very funny that the first thing they cited in their article was you are unlikely to implement the 4% rule in retirement. And I'm reading what they say and I'm like, I said all that. And I've been talking, of course, if you've listened to the show regularly, I talk about the fallacy or the trouble or the challenge or the inability of drawing that steady 4% from your portfolio. It just doesn't, it's not practical, and you can really run into trouble because when the market does really well and you're drawing 4%, well, then you're obviously drawing more money. And you adjust your expenses accordingly. And then when the market falls, it's very difficult to adjust back down. And it's a roller coaster. And when you see the market go down 3 years in a row, like we saw in 2000, 2001, 2002, over 40% cumulative loss. Or in 2008, we saw 1 year almost 40%. It's real hard to stick to that. I'm just going to take this percentage out and I'm going to, you know, kind of trot along. So the gotcha is that you probably aren't going to do the 4% rule, this imaginary or pontificating 4-6% you can take out a year that some people say you can do. I agree. I think that there's much better ways to do it. Like, for example, build a financial plan. You've heard me talk about that. It's real and it works. Next up is everyone doesn't need the same percentage of pre-retirement income. In other words, some approach that people take, planners or advisors say, well, you need 65-75% of your working income when you retire because you won't spend as much. Well, I don't think I agree with that, and I'll tell you why. When you're retired, every day is Saturday, and you have seven opportunities, 7 days a week to spend money, not just a weekend. So I don't know, and you also want to travel, and you want to take cruises, you want to go see the grandkids, you want to buy toys, 27%. I read a study the other day, I don't remember the source, but sounds right to me, 27% of all toys are purchased by grandparents for their grandchildren. So the expenses don't necessarily go down. And I think it's a bit, these rules of thumb, I think are, they leave a lot to be desired. They're lazy. I was trying to think of a better word, but I'm just going to tell you that I think they're lazy. It's a lazy way of doing your planning. You know, take 4% or you draw 75% of your pre-retirement income. Though it's lazy. You need to actually look at your situation and figure out what's realistic and what do you need. If you've paid off your mortgage or if you haven't, or if you've got credit card debt or you've got a really nice investment portfolio or you've got a pension, or all these things are going to factor into what you can do for your retirement, how much income you can draw. So look to your individual situation. These rule of thumb, I don't think you should put any stock in them. Next up is inflation. There's inflation between now and in retirement too. Well, excellent. USA News got that one right. Bit of stating the obvious, we've had inflation be between 3-4% for the last 30 to 50 years, depending on what period of time you look at. So I think it's very likely we'll have it in the future. We've seen recent numbers that are between 2-3.5, depending on what you look at and what month it is. But I think we're going to see it's called regression to the norm or to the mean, which means we'll go back, we'll see that type of typical inflation, but there could be spikes. And I've been sharing with you over the last couple of months that I think we're going to see inflation run hotter than they normally like to see it for fear of the Federal Reserve stepping in and squashing growth. In other words, they're going to let inflation run a little hotter than normal or hotter than they would like it to be because they want to make sure that the economy doesn't slip back into a recession because they're going to need to raise rates to dampen inflation. But they won't do that right away, or they won't do it very much. They might do it symbolically by just doing a small increase. But they need to make sure that this economy is really strong before they start raising rates to dampen or to bring down the growth of the economy. And Social Security. Social Security is a big deal. I don't think Social Security is going to be eliminated completely. It will probably change and evolve over time. But it can definitely be part of your portfolio of income. So make sure you understand it and look at how and when and what's the best way to take it. Couples need to look at it, and surviving spouses especially need to take a look at how they can maximize their Social Security income. Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about annuities. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back, and as promised, well, there you go. Well, that nice little presentation. That's a cool little booklet I put together talking about how annuities work. The reason I did it is a lot of people are confused about annuities. There's so much I could tell you about them. I deal with this question often. Are they right for me, David? Should I put my money into annuity? Well, the perennial answer is it depends. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. I've seen plenty of situations where an annuity is not appropriate. It doesn't fit, and it's not what I recommend. I've seen other situations where they make sense. What you've got to do is you've got to separate the hype and the noise and the propaganda and the spin out of it and look at what they really are and to figure out if they're appropriate for you. A couple key things about annuities. First of all, they've been around for a long time. They're basically the opposite of life insurance. They insure against your running out of money. They insure against living too long and outliving your assets, because life insurance is just the opposite. It insures your family or whoever you need to get the money against your dying too soon, or you're not being able to satisfy obligations before your death. So annuities are just the opposite, and they make sure you get income the rest of your life or at whatever point you need it. Now, there are a lot of different types. To be candid, some I like, some I don't. Some I find work better than others. More recently, last couple of years, a little over $200 billion with a B, okay? $200 billion or so went into annuities. And that's a lot of money. Now, why? Well, they provide opportunities and things that other investments don't necessarily do, or other savings opportunities. The main thing that an annuity offers that you can't get anywhere else is the ability to shift the risk of how long you're going to live to an insurance company and have a guarantee the rest of your life. Now, understand that there are insurance companies offer annuities, and there are financial advisors that think they're appropriate, and there are other folks on the other side of the equation, or companies that compete with the annuity, mostly from the securities industry. So what you've got is you've got a battle or a war that's going on right now between securities industry and the insurance industry, and both of them want your money. Some $500 billion with a B goes into mutual funds and annuities a year, roughly. Don't hold me to the exact number, because I'm not going to tell you that. I don't know the exact number, but it's a little over $500 billion. There's this tug of war that goes on. And so if you hear somebody say something negative about an annuity or a mutual fund or whatever it is, you know, they might just be spinning. It does happen. You know, the problem or the challenge we face as consumers, financial consumers, is that it's not always clear you're getting a fair understanding of something. So, you know, when we buy a car, and I can use any car dealership, it doesn't matter which one I do, but if you go into Honda and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a Ford, what do you think? Or if you go to Toyota and say, I'm thinking of buying a Mercedes, what do you think? Or you go to Mercedes and say, I'm thinking of buying a Kia, what do you think? You know, they're all going to have their opinions, but it's not going to be positive. Oh, yeah, that's what you should do. Go over there and buy the car from them, not for us. We know when that happens, when buying a car. We know that. We know that's how it works. But when you deal with financial people, you don't know that that necessarily happens, and it happens every day. So the basic concept, annuities can be a good fit. Well, that's why I wrote this little booklet that I mentioned earlier that we had the commercial about. You've got to understand what they are, how they work, and then you need to find somebody who can really tell you whether it's a good fit for you or not. Now, I also can tell you that some people cannot recommend them or can't recommend certain types, so they are biased or they are limited, and that's going to keep them from making maybe the best recommendation. So if you want somebody to help you figure out whether an annuity is appropriate or not, you need to make sure you ask them which of the annuities, and you'll get the little booklet, you can do this, which of the annuities can you offer? But understand, annuity is basically a contract between an individual and an insurance company where they offer certain things that are available that you can take advantage of in terms of the benefits that are provided. And once you do that, then there's an agreement as to how it works. But it's a popular tool, very often used by individuals, and big companies use it to pay their pension benefits. It's not unusual for a pension company to have a person who's retiring, they take a lump sum from the pension and they write the check to the insurance company. The insurance company then pays that person an annuity the rest of their life. So this is a very common thing. It's worth considering. It's worth looking at. Might be right for you, might not be, but take a look and consider it as part of an overall retirement plan. All right, that's all the time we have. I will share more about the nuts and bolts of annuities on another show. Thank you for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.